The Skagway Assembly will hold a special meeting on issues related to the White Pass lease and MOU. And the Haines Assembly advances the conceptual design for the second phase of the harbor expansion project. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Abby Collins. Those stories and more are up next. The Skagway Assembly will hold a special meeting tomorrow with just a couple things on the agenda. Part of the discussion will be held in executive session. During that time, the Assembly will talk to the borough attorney about possible legal issues related to the Tidelands lease with the Pacific and Arctic Railway and Navigation Company. That's the White Pass lease and subleases. The group will come out of executive session to discuss Mayor Monica Carlson's veto of Assembly action on a Memorandum of Understanding with White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad. Last week, the Assembly voted unanimously to approve the draft MOU, but the next day, Carlson vetoed that motion. She said she was concerned that new information about a sublease with the Alaska Development and Export Authority wasn't addressed in the MOU. ADA subleases property from the city through White Pass. There's uncertainty around the future of ADA's involvement on the waterfront. The special meeting is Thursday at 7:15 in Assembly Chambers. At a meeting Tuesday, the Haines Assembly approved the conceptual design for the second phase of the small boat harbor expansion project, but not without some hesitation.
I think we should postpone this decision.
That's Assemblyman Tresham Gregg. He said the Assembly needs to be sure this design is what the group wants.
I don't see a real reason for it to push through at this point in time, even though we've had a number of public meetings about it.
Gregg's motion to postpone a decision on the conceptual design for the sport boat launch and parking failed after Mayor Jan Hill broke a tie vote, but it received support from other members of the Assembly. Tom Morfitt raised concerns about the walkway that runs between the parking lot and the boat launch.
They placed the bathroom here, the park here, and in between you got guys backing up and a trail going right behind those cars backing up. I mean, that to me is just the apex of illogic.
Morfitt said the Assembly already brought up the safety concern. The group recently passed a motion opposing the installation of a public trail leading across the boat ramp. After that, engineers nixed having a seawalk with interpretive signs and a designated trail. But they said it was still important to have a pedestrian route, a sidewalk. Heather Lendy supported the idea of having more time to work on the design.
I think we have an opportunity to figure some things out before we send the engineers off on the drawings and get it all lined up in exactly this way.
But Brenda Josephson pushed back on delaying the process.
This has gone through an exhaustive public process. There were meetings at the Chilcap Center on it. The Planning Commission had meetings, Parks and Rec, Ports and Harbors. I believe in a robust public process. I would like to see us respect that process.
Sean Mady reminded the Assembly that there will be more opportunities to add more details to the design later in the process.
These have been through exhaustive meetings, and I know people are excited about a possible washdown station or a boat storage area or and stuff like that, but I remember at the last meeting when we were mentioning this to the designers, they said, yeah, we would love to find out about the washdown station, but we need to find out where the drainage would go first, and that's on the next stage of design.
Drawings will come back for public hearings at different stages of design. At the beginning of the meeting, Planning Commissioners Jeremy Stevens and Donnie Turner spoke in favor of moving the design forward.
There's a lot of issues, and we had to find common ground with parking spaces and green space and the new location of Lookout Park or Harbor Park or whatever it's going to be called. And I think that everybody came together and performed, and P&D responded, and I think we have a really good plan sitting on your desk tonight that's been approved by the Parks and Rec, Planning Commission, and Ports and Harbors.
This has been through all the public process, and I would hope that you would take your personal bias and follow the public process.
Mayor Hill broke another tie vote in favor of advancing the conceptual plans. Reporting in Haines, I'm Abby Collins. The ferry Malaspina is out of operation due to needed repairs, which is affecting the ferry schedule. KSDK's June Leffler has more.
Marine highway officials say the Malaspina needs more repairs than expected. It was brought in for its annual overhaul and certification in October. The vessel was set to be back in service by late December, but it needs extensive steel replacement and work to both propeller hubs. Now it is scheduled to get back on its route in late spring. Limited ferry service will be offered for 2 months starting December 22nd. Southeast Alaska communities will see one ferry a week, and sailings to and from Prince Rupert will be canceled. Ora Lando is a spokeswoman for the Alaska Marine Highway.
Marine Highway System is contacting all affected passengers and folks who are traveling to Prince Rupert will have an option to go down to Bellingham instead.
Bellingham and Prince Rupert are the Marine Highway's two ports that directly connect to the lower 48th's highway system. Rupert is in British Columbia, making it the closer option to get to mainland roads. Bellingham is in Washington. Lando says the ferries Columbia and Leconte will cover much of the Malaspina's route.
So the Marine Highway System rescheduled service to maximize the port calls with all the available vessels.
Also currently in repairs, the Kennecott will be back in late February. Then, service will resume as normal. In Wrangell, I'm June Leffler.
In the time the Malaspina is out of service, Haines will see one fewer sailing a week. The Skagway terminal is not affected. Scientists monitoring halibut say there could be a decline in the bottom fish along the coast of the U.S. and Canada in upcoming years if the current level of fishing continues. The International Pacific Halibut Commission oversees management of the fish along the coast from Alaska to California. Commissioners had an interim meeting Tuesday and Wednesday, November 28th and 29th in Seattle, and heard about this year's catch and the latest estimates of halibut stocks. Scientists found fewer younger halibut in survey fishing done up and down the coast this year. That could signal a decrease in halibut numbers and what's caught in the commercial fishery in upcoming years. Ian Stewart is a quantitative scientist with the commission.
What we are starting to see here is a projection that we've got fewer young fish coming into the stock, and that's very consistent with the set line survey dropping in terms of numbers, and it's also why we're really not seeing it yet in the commercial fishery, because that fishery is still largely dominated by these better year classes that are still present in the fishery catch, but will be decreasing in the fishery catch over the next several years.
The IPHC's survey found a decrease from last year in the number of halibut caught. Coastwide, that drop was 24% from 2016, with some variation between the different parts of the coast. Meanwhile, catch rates actually increased in the commercial fishery in some areas. Coastwide, commercial catches this year topped 26 million pounds. Fishing fleets targeting other species caught another 6 million pounds of halibut as bycatch. Staff scientists don't recommend catch levels to the U.S. and Canadian commissioners. Instead, they present the likelihood of future declines or increases in fish stocks based on different catch limits. Because fish numbers are dropping, most areas of the coast could see decreases in the commercial and charter catch limits next year, if the commission decides to stay with the same level of fishing intensity as 2017. Commissioner Linda Behnken of Alaska asked for more clarity on the impacts of those catch limits for the future.
It does seem as if the reductions we're seeing you calling for here or indicated are really driven by recruitment and the fact that there's not small fish moving in to replace the bigger fish or to recruit into the fishery. And so I think part of what we're going to have to understand when we take action at the annual meeting is how sensitive the population is and the future projections to the fishing intensity levels.
The commission will decide catch limits at their annual meeting in Portland, Oregon in late January. They'll also be considering various regulatory changes and setting the season dates for next year. For KHNS News, I'm Abby Collins. Thanks for joining us tonight. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.